Schnapp dir jetzt den Black Friday Deal auf nordvpn.com und schütze dich vor Online-Gefahren. NordVPNs Bedrohungsschutz Pro blockiert Webtracker, gefährliche Downloads und Fake-Shops. Sichere dir jetzt den Black Friday Deal auf nordvpn.com. NordVPN. Cybersicherheit für deinen Alltag.
FM Talk Radio.
Immer mittwochs von 20 bis 21 Uhr
auf Ego FM. 17 Uhr. Ego FM Nachrichten.
Mit Dirk Justus. Die Grünen ziehen mit Robert Habeck an der Spitze in den Bundestagswahlkampf. Beim Parteitag in Wiesbaden haben sich fast 97% der Delegierten für ihn ausgesprochen und damit zum Kanzlerkandidaten gekürt. Zuvor hatte Habeck in einer kämpferischen, aber auch selbstkritischen Rede um Unterstützung geworben. Zum Abschluss sagte er:
Wir wollen nicht arrogant über anderen stehen und auftreten, weil wir wollen uns auch nicht klein machen und Beiboot sein. Der Führungsanspruch, den ich formuliere mit dieser Kandidatur, es ist ein Führungsanspruch, dienend zu führen, nicht über anderen zu stehen, mit anderen gemeinsam zu gehen und zu kämpfen.
Die Kanzlerkandidatur der SPD muss auf einem Parteitag entschieden werden. Das hat der Ex-Parteichef Müntefering dem Tagesspiegel gesagt. Er sieht dabei kein Vorrecht für Kanzler Scholz. In der SPD werden die Stimmen lauter, die den beliebteren Verteidigungsminister Pistorius fordern. In den nächsten Wochen sollen die Behörden das Messerverbot auf den Weihnachtsmärkten streng kontrollieren. Das fordert Bundesinnenministerin Faeser. Mehr von Tom Husse.
Wer gegen das gesetzliche Messerverbot verstößt, dem drohen Bußgelder bis zu 10.000 Euro, warnte Faeser in der Bild am Sonntag. Mit dem Sicherheitspaket habe man für Regeln gesorgt, damit alle sicher auf den Märkten feiern können. Und da gilt Null Toleranz bei Verstößen, so die Ministerin weiter. Der Bundestag hatte das Sicherheitspaket im Oktober beschlossen und damit auf den tödlichen Messeranschlag beim Stadtfest in Solingen reagiert.
Es ist mehr als 20 Meter lang und etwa 150 Millionen Jahre alt. In Frankreich ist ein Dinosaurier-Skelett für 6 Millionen Euro versteigert worden. Der Apatosaurus, ein Pflanzenfresser, wurde in den USA ausgegraben. Er soll jetzt in ein Museum kommen.
Die nachfolgende Sendung wurde mit dem Deutschen Radiopreis in der Kategorie Beste Sendung ausgezeichnet.
Chelsea Hotel.
I think people were living in the moment. It was a great time. It was an exciting time.
We were all living in the same place. You would see Janis Joplin or Jimi Hendrix.
The day Lou Reed died, I laid roses at the foot of the Chelsea Hotel. It's a legendary place.
The place is still full of mysteries, and there's a lot to do.
On the shades long, all day long, on the shades long.
Ego FM. Chelsea Hotel.
Einen wunderschönen guten Abend, hier ist Sandra Gern und wir befinden uns im Chelsea Hotel gerade in einer kleinen Jahresrückschau. Wir blicken auf die schönsten Interviews des Jahres zurück. Letzte Woche haben wir schon gestartet mit MGMT, in den nächsten Wochen folgen noch die Bleachers oder Jamie XX. Aber heute hören wir nochmal in die Sendung rein vom 21. März 2024. Da hatte ich nämlich eine wunderbare Künstlerin namens Vexa Hatchie hier zu Gast und das ganze Interview, das haben wir jetzt.
Ego FM, Chelsea Hotel.
Einen wunderschönen guten Abend. Schön, dass ihr mit dabei seid heute bei einer neuen Ausgabe vom Chelsea Hotel. Mit mir, ich bin Sandra Gern und ich freue mich wahnsinnig auf diese heutige Sendung, denn ich habe heute wieder Besuch. Und zwar von einer US-amerikanischen Künstlerin namens Katie Crutchfield, besser bekannt als Vexa Hatchie.
And I take off driving past places been tainted.
Für 2020 ist ihr mit dem Album St. Cloud der große internationale Durchbruch gelungen. Und jetzt ist sie zurück mit einem neuen Album, das morgen erscheint. Tiger's Blood heißt es und darüber durfte ich mit Katie sprechen. Und dieses Gespräch hört ihr in der heutigen Ausgabe und wir hören natürlich auch Musik vom neuen Album, das morgen rauskommt. Dann möchte ich auch in der heutigen Ausgabe über einen ganz besonderen Mann sprechen, der in der vergangenen Woche gestorben ist. Und zwar der Mann mit der eisernen Lunge, dazu auch gleich mehr. Jetzt starten wir erstmal rein mit einem neuen Song von Shelter Boy und Amelie. Beide kommen aus Deutschland und haben diesen wunderschönen neuen Song gemacht. Hier kommen sie mit Raincoats. Ich bin Sandra Gern. Schönen guten Abend. Schön, dass ihr da seid.
Raincoats, see you salt on my tongue when I fall straight into your arms. Nothing can do you harm.
When the rain is kissing your cheeks, when the rain is kissing your cheeks, put my hands under your sleeves, put my hands under your sleeves, like it when the rain is kissing your cheeks, when the rain is kissing your cheeks.
Raincoat, sea salt on my tongue, when the fall straight into your eyes. When I fall straight into your arms, nothing could do you harm. Raincoat, sea salt on my tongue. When I fall straight into your arms, nothing could do you harm. Raincoat, sea salt on my tongue. So scared, told you not.
The apartment where William Burroughs wrote Naked Lunch.
Ego FM, Chelsea Hotel.
Who loves the sun? Who cares that it makes plants grow? Who cares what it does since you broke my heart? Who loves the wind? Who cares that makes breezes? Who cares what it does since you broke my heart? Who loves the sun? Who loves the sun? Not flowers. Who cares that it makes showers since you broke my heart? Who loves the sun? Who cares that it is shining? Who cares what it does since you broke my heart?
Loves the Sun, hier im Chelsea Hotel auf Ego FM. Von The Velvet Underground, Die Band, die heute auch noch kurz Thema sein wird im Interview mit Waxahachie, was wir gleich hören. Jetzt möchte ich aber erstmal über einen Menschen sprechen, der in der vergangenen Woche gestorben ist. Und zwar Paul Alexander. Man nannte ihn auch den Mann mit der eisernen Lunge, denn er ist tatsächlich bis zuletzt in einer sogenannten eisernen Lunge gelegen. Das ist quasi ein Gerät, in dem die Arbeit der Lunge imitiert wird, wenn die Lunge eben nicht von alleine atmen kann. Das konnte Paul Alexander nicht, weil er im Jahr 1952 an Polio, also an der Kinderlähmung, erkrankt ist. Ich habe dazu ein wahnsinnig spannendes Interview gelesen, das im Jahr 2022 geführt wurde, also noch nicht so lange her, wo die Kollegen von Riff Reporter mit ihm drüber gesprochen haben, über die Anfänge, wie das eigentlich war, was Polio für eine Krankheit war damals, warum er absolut dafür ist, sich gegen Viruskrankungen immer impfen zu lassen, wenn es eine Möglichkeit gibt. Er ist quasi im Alter von 6 Jahren plötzlich gelähmt gewesen, vom einen auf den anderen Tag. Und die Ärzte haben ihm auch ehrlich gesagt nicht so wahnsinnig viel verbleibende Lebenszeit zugetraut oder vorhergesagt. Und er lag einfach als Kind plötzlich in so einer eisernen Lunge, weil er sich einfach nicht mehr bewegen konnte. Wie er das beschreibt in dem Interview, fand ich wirklich total beeindruckend, vor allem, was er dennoch für einen unglaublichen Lebenswillen hatte und auch Unglaubliches geschafft hat. Denn er hat nicht nur die Schule geschafft, sondern hat auch noch Jura studiert, hat als Anwalt gearbeitet und hat gelernt, für einen begrenzten Zeitraum am Tag, ohne diese eiserne Lunge leben zu können, indem er sich eine neue Atemtechnik antrainiert hat. Ich fand es wirklich sehr, sehr inspirierend. Zuletzt ist er leider jetzt wirklich an einer Viruserkrankung gestorben, und zwar, weil er definitiv vorerkrankt ist und ja, an Covid erkrankt ist und ist in der vergangenen Woche jetzt gestorben. Es gibt einen sehr erfolgreichen TikTok-Kanal, auf dem er bis vor ein paar Monaten alle Fragen beantwortet hat. Hat so knapp eine halbe Million Follower. Kann ich euch nur empfehlen, euch die Lebensgeschichte von Paul Alexander mal durchzulesen. Ich finde es wahnsinnig inspirierend. Wie gesagt, bei den Kollegen von Riff Reporter. Und wir hören jetzt einen bisschen passenden Song dazu. Ich habe von Radiohead My Iron Lung rausgesucht. Und den haben wir jetzt. Thank you.
Monopoly bei McDonald's ist zurück. Hol dir den McCrispy mit Stickercode und gewinne millionenfach in der McDonald's-App. Badabababa.
Nur für registrierte App-User in teilnehmenden Restaurants.
Hey Jan, schon gehört? Den neuen Mini Cooper gibt's jetzt schon ab 2 Euro im Monat.
Wie schon ab 2 Euro? Das ist ja...
Ja, und das Beste, die Vollkaskoversicherung gibt's für nur Euro dazu.
Boah, ist ja...
Bei Mini piept's wohl. Denn jetzt gibt es den neuen Mini Cooper schon ab unschlagbaren 299 Euro im Monat. Voll elektrisch oder als Benziner. Im Leasingangebot der BMW Bank GmbH. Dazu die Mini Smile Vollkasko für nur 49 Euro im Monat. Vertragspartner ist die VHV Allgemeine Versicherung AG. Details auf mini.de.
Gewalt loswerden. Hinschauen gegen Gewalt. Meine gute Laune Musik. Bis er mir etwas an den Kopf geworfen hat. Jeden Tag erleben Menschen in Bayern häusliche Gewalt. Sind Sie selbst betroffen oder wollen helfen? Nähere Infos auf bayern-gegen-gewalt.de. Gewalt loswerden. Eine Initiative des Bayerischen Sozialministeriums.
And Virgil Thompson lives on this floor right now.
Ego FM. Chelsea Hotel.
Chelsea mit I Love My Boyfriend hier im Chelsea Hotel. Und das ist schon fast eine Überleitung zu meinem heutigen Gast. Jetzt freue ich mich wahnsinnig, ein Interview mit euch zu teilen. Waxahachie aus den USA hat im Chelsea Hotel vorbeigeschaut. Das erste Mal habe ich sie 2017 beim Reeperbahn-Festival interviewen dürfen. Damals war sie auch bei mir in der Sendung. Dazwischen ist aber einiges passiert, und zwar hat sie sich von Indie-Rock jetzt mehr ihren Country-Einflüssen gewidmet. 2020 ist ihr der große Durchbruch gelungen mit dem Album St. Cloud. Ich kann mich erinnern, anfangs war sie ab und an auf Social Media noch präsent. Sie hat sich auch oft mit ihrem Partner Kevin Morby, der ja auch öfters als Musiker hier im Chelsea Hotel vertreten ist, mit dem hat sie sich öfters noch auf Social Media gezeigt. Wir sprechen im Interview darüber, warum sie sich mittlerweile sowohl von Social Media als auch von Alkohol fernhält. Wir sprechen darüber, wie es ist, dem eigenen Partner, der ja auch in der Öffentlichkeit steht, auf einem Album eine Liebeserklärung zu machen. Und wir sprechen darüber, warum sie ihre Passion fürs Interview führen, also als Interviewer, ja, warum sie da ihre Passion entdeckt hat. Wir hören jetzt das ganze Gespräch mit Vexa Hatchie.
You see, the Chelsea is so creative, we can do these miracles.
Ego FM, Chelsea Hotel.
Nice to have you.
Yes, thank you for having me.
I just told you, right? We met a few years ago in your van.
Yes.
At Reeperbahn Festival, where we already talked. Different city, different album, but still the same show. And I know that you're a fan of the Velvet Underground, so I assume you might know the Chelsea Hotel in New York.
Yes, I'm a big fan of the Velvet Underground, you're right. And actually the Chelsea Hotel has reopened. I don't know if you heard about that, but I've been really trying to go stay there. I haven't yet, but hopefully this year will be the year I get to stay at the Chelsea, finally.
That's also a plan for me.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I really have to, because I've been there twice, but it was under construction the whole time, so.
Yeah, I think everyone sort of wants to make the pilgrimage, finally, that now that we can.
We're here to talk about your new album today, Tiger's Blood. How does it feel to have it finally finished?
Feels good. It's a little bit scary because I haven't put out an album in 4 years. So I'm a little out of practice with promo and all that. And it's just always a bit vulnerable, but everybody's been really gracious. And I'm really excited to play shows. That's the thing I'm looking forward to.
The album title, Tiger's Blood, I know it's a song on the album, but like, what made you think that's like, I want my album to be called like that?
Well, my last couple albums, the album title has actually been like something I've picked more or less out of thin air, and it doesn't really have super deep meaning, but it does sort of evoke something vague and emotional for me. So with St. Cloud, that is the city that my dad was born. And when I was writing that song, I really wanted like any town in America, just any old town will work. It can't be a major city, something people have heard of but maybe aren't super familiar with. So I picked St. Cloud, and then that just stuck with me, like the way those words sound together and kind of what it brought up and what it made me visualize or something. And so the same was really true for Tiger's Blood. I wrote that song, and Tiger's Blood is a snow cone flavor. It's strawberry and coconut mixed together
that I
ate a lot as a child. And when I wrote that song, I was writing about childhood and innocence, and that whole part of the song is about that and like summertime. And so that as I was writing that like came out and it just stuck with me. And it's so simple, and it doesn't really have a deep meaning, but it evokes something for me. So that's where it comes from.
Cool. But talking about your previous album, which was till this day the most successful album so far, like how did the success of the last one influence the approach you took for the next album?
Well, you know, it was a totally different experience. When we made St. Cloud, my album before that was more of a rock album. It was darker. And I knew that that was like a one-off aesthetic choice. I wasn't going to like keep going down that road. So obviously the sound of St. Cloud was a hard pivot to a different direction. And I knew just like as an artist, this is what I feel like I want and have to do. And so if my fans come with me or not on that journey, like I'm kind of at peace with either, because I just as an artist, like feel like I have to make this type of music now. So in a way it was like there was no pressure when I was making the record, because I was just like excited about what I was doing and I felt really good about it and had just made my peace with whatever the reaction, it's fine. So then obviously the impact of that album was so big for me. It was like a huge breakthrough in my career, and my fan base like doubled in size, and I was like, oh my gosh, I guess I'm doing something right here, I guess. But when we made Tiger's Blood, there is like a certain responsibility that comes with that, or like a certain pressure. And I think my producer, Brad Cook, and I were both trying to act like there wasn't, and like, no, we're just going to do our thing. It's going to be fine. But I think we both felt it a little bit. Once we made a plan for what we were going to do and kind of got to work, the pressure sort of evaporated because we were just really excited about what we were doing. But before we had a plan and as we were like talking about it early on, I could tell we were both a little scared.
So was it also the reason why you came back to him as a producer? Because then you could kind of share the pressure?
Yes. I mean, you know, relationships with collaborators are just like any other relationship, you know, like they have their story and then sometimes those stories end and, you know, it is what it is. But with Brad, I felt like when I met him and started collaborating with him, it really felt like, oh, I've found like the other half of a whole. I think we as artists sometimes feel like a desire to be good at everything and to be like our own producer and our like do like we play all the instruments, we do everything ourselves. And when I kind of let go of that arrogance and was like, I know exactly what I'm good at. I'm good at writing the songs. I'm good at singing and I'm good at like kind of knowing a general aesthetic that I'm going for. Finding somebody who's really good at everything else, like Brad, was perfect for me. Yeah, there was never a question. I was like, I need Brad to come and help me realize this vision.
Yeah. I would love to talk about the first song, the opening track, Three Sisters, because I feel like it's a really beautiful opening track. It kind of very smoothly takes you into the beginning of the album. What is the story behind that song, or why did you exactly choose this one as the opening track?
Sometimes I think opening tracks, they show themselves really early. Like, I think that in order to be the first song on an album, like, a song has to be a really specific energy. So I knew pretty quickly that was going to be the first song. Like, that was cemented when we were in the studio. There was like, the melody I'd had for like a long time, like it's one of the oldest melodies of all the songs on the album. Maybe for that reason, it was really hard to arrange and put together. But Spencer Tweedy plays drums on the album and we were giving him all this really vague, like drum speak. Like we were like, you know, do something big, just do something big, you know? And he's a really gentle person. So he does this like really gentle roll for the whole song. And that's all he did. And so we came back in and we were like, this is so funny that this is what he did that was big. And so then we were like, that's cool, but we want you to play a beat. And so then the first beat that he played was the beat that's in the song. And when that kicked in, just clicked as first song.
How did you choose him?
Well, Brad had actually recommended Spencer to play drums on St. Cloud, but my friend Nick Kinsey was kind of already lined up to do that. And I liked the idea a lot. And so when we made the Plains album, we were like, let's bring in Spencer for that. And so he played drums on the Plains album. And the way that we made that record, it was really just everybody kind of set up in a room and we were just jamming as a full band. And I really liked every single idea he had was so great. So then the way that we made Tiger's Blood, it was going to be really similar to that. We're all set up in a room and we're just all going to track stuff together. And so, yeah, I was like, I think Spencer would be really good for that.
Take it easy, honey. Catch me toeing the line. Lost in a rollout play. Stuck in a video game, armed with a safety pin, overly confident. My skin is airy thin, but my game is rigged to win. I keep my head up, I fill up your empty cup, all in the name of love. While you get the hang of a shade that suits me, it's not natural beauty, the line of duty collapses in. For the fallen tide, make an exit on this sleigh, armed with a memory, surely will stay with me, fragments of misery, feeding off my body, I keep my eyes shut, sage advice to rebut, a blind squirrel finds a nut, mapping out the shortcuts, 20 questions, dexterous protesting,
Ego FM, Chelsea Hotel.
I read an older interview where you talked about like how you got sober and like a few years ago, and also how you stay away from social media. Mm-hmm. And then because you talked about your new project, Clients, where I felt like, okay, you have an incredible output. Like you have been on tour. You wrote that album mostly during your tour in 2022, mm-hmm. founded a new band. And, you know, like that seems a lot. That's my thought. Did like staying away from alcohol and social media just give you a whole new amount of time to be very productive?
I think so. I mean, so my relationship with social media and my relationship with alcohol kind of go hand in hand. I quit alcohol in 2018, and then I started kind of having like a unique relationship with social media in 2019 and in 2020, with the exception of there was like one little period where I was using it again for like 6 months. I haven't used social media since then, really. There's similar energy drains, I think, on me. I had been doing some research about social media. There's this writer, Jaron Lanier, who talks a lot about, he used to work in tech or still is in the tech world, and he talks a lot about kind of like reasons why you shouldn't use social media, and I thought it was really interesting. And through that, I learned about this concept by this guy, Cal Newport, called deep work, that he basically poses that in the modern age, we put a lot of energy into marketing ourselves and into like creating a brand and like supporting that brand. And he poses that if you took that away and you put all of your energy into whatever your practice is, your art practice or your work or whatever, that you could become so undeniable in your whatever your field is that you don't need to market yourself at all, which I loved. Yeah. So it's all kind of an experiment, but I have really found that when I stopped using social media and I stopped drinking and I just became very focused and dedicated and disciplined in like my craft, that it has undeniably helped my career.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, okay, you quit drinking in 2018 and 19, you quit social media, and 2020 you released your most successful album.
Yes.
So yeah, I see the reasons why you stick to that.
Yeah, I don't know that it would work for everybody, and I certainly don't judge people who like have found a huge following on social media. Like that's a whole other, like we're all playing different games, you know? But I think for me, it was just taking energy away from the thing that's actually important to me.
Well, it's actually, I find it really interesting because often I feel like online you see exactly happening with the opposite. You see like a lot of content and it seems nice from the first sight, at the first sight, but then you're like, it's kind of empty. It's kind of like shallow.
Totally. Yeah. And you know, like I get it. Like it takes what it takes to get through life. And I, like if I was really morally opposed to social media, like I wouldn't let my team use it on my behalf. I think like I had clarity about what my purpose is, and it's, you know, to write songs that feel very true to my life and my experience. And you know, anything that clouds that is probably something I should try to not do.
Yeah, so it's great that you have the chance to outsource that.
Yes.
But I think like a lot of artists can't really, right? Like
of
especially
course.
Younger ones, and like the whole music industry tells everyone like you have to have a TikTok video go viral.
Yeah.
So I think, what do you think does that to artists?
You know, it depends on the artist, and it depends on, I think when people ask me for advice, like other musicians, I think it's really important to understand like what exactly they want to do or what exactly is the driving motivator, because there are a lot of situations in which using social media is probably the way, depending on what the goal is. But for people who are like me, I do try and tell people, you know, just put your head down and focus on the music. And again, if you really do that and you really kind of get closer to whatever the thing is, like internally, you may not need social media as much, but I think there's a way to balance it. I'm certainly grateful that I am able to outsource. But I think there is probably a way to balance it so that people can have both, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking about your collaborator on this album, who is called MJ Lenderman.
Yes.
If I got it right, you only wanted him on one song at the beginning, and then he ended up just staying for the whole record?
Sort of. Not necessarily one song, but I brought him up really early in the conversations about the album, like in most of the songs, but we didn't know what the record was going to be like at all. And I mentioned to Brad, let's bring Jake in at some point. Jake is MJ Lenderman's name. Let's bring him in at some point and see how that goes, thinking like it would be late in the process. And then Brad invited him to the first session when we didn't have any plan. And so it was just the three of us for that first session. And, you know, he's like a multi-instrumentalist. He played drums at first, you know, and just jammed with Brad and I, and then switched to guitar. And our friend Matt came in and played drums. And anyways, it all felt really good, but I wasn't totally sure. Like, it wasn't like much to go off of as far as like, is this a direction? And then we tracked right back to it. And right before Jake left, like one of the last things he did was sing harmony on that. And when he sang the harmony, Brad and I were like, that's it. Like, that's the record. That's what we're going to chase. Like, what this is making us feel is mm-hmm. what we're going to try and chase. So yeah, once he did that, we were like, okay, well, you have to come with us for the rest
you
of
have
this.
To stay. Yeah,
you have to stay. We can't do this without you. So yeah, and I'm so grateful that he was able to do that.
Nice.
Yeah.
But talking about that song, I read that you call it like your first real love song, which I found incredible because a lot of artists start with love songs. And
yeah.
Looking at your career, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I wouldn't say it's my first love song, but I don't write love songs very much. And in fact, until St. Cloud, I would say I had never really written a proper love song. I think that my comfort zone is certainly something that evokes sadness or, you know, heartache. And, you know, I've written quite a bit about like romantic entanglements and breakups and things like that, but actually sort of a declaration of love is a little like too earnest for me, and it's kind of like hard for me to find my songwriting voice in that emotion. You know, Can't Do Much on my last record is a love song and is about my partner. It's similar to Right Back to It, but Right Back to It, it's like we've spent even more time together. So I really like the idea of writing like super unromantic, no frills love songs about like a long story with somebody and the ups and downs of that. And kind of like the beauty of it is even when things are hard or in like a down period, you come like back full circle to someone. So that was kind of the idea when I wrote that song.
Have you ever like talked to each other, like to your partner? Like, is it okay if I put that into a song? Because obviously, like, yeah, he's not no one. Like, he's not anonymous to the music world. So, were there conversations about that?
Yeah, a little bit. I think, like, you know, I think that if I was writing more in depth about like, we were fighting or something and it was really like kind of messy, then maybe we would need to kind of really figure that out. But I think he's flattered by it. And, you know, he has a handful of songs that he's written kind of about the same thing. So it's sweet. And we're kind of used to it. Like, I think that our relationship, there was never going to be like a way for us to keep it entirely private. So we kind of just embrace it and do our best.
Okay. Well, it sounds like your love language then, like writing songs about because a lot of people have different love languages in a relationship, right? And like yours seem to be like partly writing, putting beautiful songs on a record.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because we're like really silly. Like we really like joke around kind of all the time. So it is nice that there's like sometimes the songs are like the most earnest ways in which we express ourselves to each other, which is kind of nice.
Photograph of us in the spotlight. Peace of mind.
so long. Come right back to I let my mind run wild. I don't know why I do it. You just settle in like a song. We know it. If I can keep up.
Talk about another song, the 365, mm-hmm. where you talk about that it's about forgiveness, it's about self-acceptance and hard-earned self-acceptance. What did help you gain that self-acceptance and forgiveness?
I wish I knew. I wish I had like a clear answer about that. I think time and just like concentrated effort on sort of processing a lot of things. My album St. Cloud is really about my sobriety journey, but there's a lot of songs on that album that are about other addicts in my life and how that has affected my life. And my journey that has really evolved and grown. You know, as a musician, we're all kind of surrounded by like addiction, and being the addict yourself, that's one type of turmoil. But then obviously being in relationships with other addicts, that's a totally different type of turmoil that you kind of have to come to terms with. And it's really easy to get like sucked into. And in fact, in my experience, can often make your life spiral way more out of control than your own addiction. So
codependency.
Yes, like, exactly. Yeah. The codependency, that journey that like of healing some of that stuff has been really interesting for me. So that's really where 365 comes from. It's kind of a song of honesty and like detaching with love, just like with addicts in my life, acknowledging the chaos, but ultimately not holding it against somebody and being able to forgive them. So that's what that song's about.
Okay. You're going on tour with your new record through the US first in spring.
Yes.
I realized that over the last albums, you often changed the band members. And I wonder if this like just a reason because someone is not like there, the capacity reason, like someone is not available, or does really like the style of the album kind of demand a certain band that you put together? Like, how do you decide that? Or
it's changed. I mean, when I look at my history, like I really look at this project as like pre-St. Cloud and post-St. Cloud. With St. Cloud, you know, the band that had kind of been my band over several record cycles up to that point, I knew like the whole vibe of this is going to change a lot. And it just wasn't, it's like, it was just like an organic time for those relationships to kind of be punctuated. With St. Cloud, the band Bonnie Doone from Detroit played as my band on the album. So I really wanted them to come play the album live. And they have a very specific aesthetic and sound. And it really was super informative to what that album was. And with Tiger's Blood, it was sort of similar. Like, I put a band together for the studio, and there's some crossover. Like, there's, you know, Eliana Athade is my bassist, and she sings backup, and she's like a really important like musical collaborator in my life. So she played on St. Cloud tour, on the Plains tour, and we'll play on the Tiger's Blood tour. But then everybody else, I just kind of like, it's a tricky album to play live because there's a lot of acoustic instruments. There's dobro and banjo and harmonica and like all kinds of keys. And so finding the right people that can like bring that to life was sort of the name of the game. And Spencer Tweedy is going to play drums on the tour too, which is great.
Yeah. So how many are going to be on stage this time?
I think including me, 6.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
One last question, because I read over and over again that you're a big fan of Lucinda Williams, mm-hmm. a big iconic country singer, and you once interviewed her, right? Mm-hmm. And I was wondering what that interview, how it influenced you, because I was thinking, like, did it kind of show you a way, like a glimpse into the future, how you could live in this music business in, like, yeah, when you're older? Because there are not so many female artists that are older and still very present.
Yes, I think that it definitely did. It's funny, one thing it really taught me is, or gave me, like, a newfound compassion for interviewers, because I really think that it really, and a good interview depends entirely on the interviewee. I think you can show up with like the best questions. It has to like bounce back and forth. And if it doesn't, I imagine that would be really difficult. And luckily with Lucinda, it was really great. And she'll just like talk. She's very generous with her stories and her time. And I've actually interviewed her multiple times now. And we've kind of become like close, which is so crazy. But I just saw her in Mexico and got to talk to her a lot and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I really credit Lucinda to bringing me back to country music of my youth. I grew up on country, and like that's very foundational to my songwriting. But you know, my whole teenage and twenties years, I was like really into punk rock and didn't like totally rejected country music. And then becoming really obsessed with Lucinda helped me embrace that, because she, being a woman in the music industry in like 70s, 80s, 90s, was a different experience than what I've had. I'm grateful to her for like going through that on like mine, other women's behalfs. But also, she was really difficult to market. She was like too country for rock. She was too rock for country, you know. I don't know. I think that like her endurance and just her like, you know, refusal to be anyone but herself really paid a service to young songwriters like me.
Nice. And like talking about your new passion to do interviews now, who would you love to interview next?
Oh my gosh. Cause honestly, Lucinda is like my dream, and anyone who I like, who would jump out to me immediately is like dead. So, you know, like my answer would be like Tom Petty, but that's not possible, yeah. You know? But yeah.
So,
I don't know.
Hey, thank you so much for this interview.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And all the best with the new record and with the tour. And I hope to see you soon in Germany on tour.
Thank you. And yes, I'll be here hopefully in the summer.
365 days. Tell me you're a wounded soldier. You ain't had much luck, but grace is in the eye of the beholder. I had my own ideas, but I carried you on my shoulders anyways. Ooh, and I stopped picking up all your phone calls. Take a shot at decency. If I heard your voice on the other line unceremoniously, the shadows of a lie or a state of emergency. I've been run down. Ooh, ooh. I catch your poison arrow. I catch your same disease. Bow like a weeping willow. Buckling at the knees. Begging you please. If you fly up beyond the cosmos, it's a long way to fall back down. You always go about this the wrong way. And I'm too weak to just let you drown. So when you kill, I kill. When you ate, I ate. And we both. It's a long way to come back down. 65 days. Tell me I'm your lucky charm. We defy gravity again. Somehow make it out unharmed. And I have my thoughts about it, but I carry you in my arms anyway. Ooh, ooh.
Bald gibt es die Amazon Black Friday Woche Angebote. Und du kannst bei vielen Dingen bis zu 40% sparen. Von Elektronik und Haushalt bis Spielzeug, Kosmetik und noch mehr. Aber sowas von woo! Entdecke die Black Friday Woche Angebote von Amazon. Ab Donnerstag. Diese Angebote sind so woo!
Der Wald in Äthiopien schützt vor Katastrophen wie Dürren, Überschwemmungen und Erdrutsche, die die Menschen auf das wenige nehmen, was sie haben. Doch der Wald ist in Not.
Pflanzen Sie mit Ihrer Spende Bäume in Äthiopien und schaffen Sie gemeinsam mit Menschen für Menschen ein besseres Klima für uns alle. Denn Wald wirkt Wunder. Menschenfürmenschen.de.
Günstiger schmeckt besser. Hol dir die 20er Nuggets für nur 5,99. Jetzt Coupons in der MyBK-App checken und richtig sparen. Nur für kurze Zeit in allen teilnehmenden Restaurants und nur bei Burger King.
And on the next floor, we're going to see the apartment where William Burroughs wrote Naked Lunch.
Ego FM, Chelsea Hotel.
Über 10 Jahre ist dieses Album mittlerweile her. Psychic von Darkside. Ich liebe diese Band. Ein Duo, das aus dem elektronischen Produzenten Nicolas Jarre besteht und dem Multi-Instrumentalisten Dave Harrington. Paper Trails haben wir gerade gehört hier im Chelsea Hotel auf Ego FM. Und damit war es das auch schon wieder von der heutigen Ausgabe vom Chelsea Hotel. Ich freue mich wahnsinnig, dass ihr mit dabei wart. Falls ihr jetzt erst eingeschaltet habt oder das Interview nochmal nachhören wollt mit Waxahachie, dann könnt ihr das gerne tun. Ab morgen ist die Sendung für eine Woche lang wieder online verfügbar auf egofm.de in der Mediathek oder auch in der App. Und am Sonntag wird das Ganze hier auf um 20 Uhr auch nochmal wiederholt auf Ego FM. Und ich freue mich natürlich wahnsinnig über Feedback zum neuen Album Tiger's Blood, das morgen rauskommt von Waxahachie. Was ihr zum Interview sagt, was ihr zu Katies Sichtweisen über Alkohol, über Social Media, Konsum, was ihr davon haltet, gebt mir gerne Feedback zur Sendung, zum Interview, gerne an sandra@egofm.de per Mail oder auch an Sandra gerne auf Instagram. Freue mich immer von euch zu hören. Vielen Dank für die Nachrichten auch zu letzter Sendung. Macht immer sehr Spaß zu hören, von wo aus ihr alle so zuhört und was ihr so denkt. Damit war es das für heute. Ich kann jetzt schon mal einen kleinen Teaser loswerden. Nächste Woche habe ich auch eine fantastische Band zu Gast, beziehungsweise eine fantastische Frau von einer Band, und zwar Beth Deto von Gossip. Diese Band war für mich früher so unglaublich wichtig. Ich fand die so toll und ich finde sie auch immer noch toll. Und ich freue mich wahnsinnig auf das Gespräch nächste Woche mit Gossip. Und jetzt hören wir aber erstmal den allerletzten Song. Ich habe für heute Holy Holy rausgesucht mit Teach Me About Dying. Und damit wünsche ich euch noch einen wunderschönen Abend. Ich bin Sandra Gern. Lasst es euch gut gehen und bis nächste Woche. Tschüss.
Hotel.
You are invited to listen to this program at the same time next week.
18 Uhr. Ego FM Nachrichten.
Mit Dirk Justus. Die Grünen setzen auf Robert Habeck. Er ist auf einem Parteitag in Wiesbaden von fast 97% der Delegierten zum Spitzenkandidaten für die vorgezogene Bundestagswahl gewählt worden. Mehr von Daniel Bornberg.
Die aktuellen Umfragewerte der Grünen sind mau. Die Stimmung auf dem Parteitag war zum Abschluss aber bestens Aufbruchstimmung. In einer leidenschaftlichen Rede hatte Habeck den Saal zuvor angeheizt, die aktuellen Herausforderungen beschrieben, seine Zukunftsvision skizziert und um Unterstützung gebeten. Habeck sagte, ich will Verantwortung übernehmen als Kandidat und wenn es uns ganz weit trägt, dann auch ins Kanzleramt.
Russlands Präsident Putin ist nicht bereit, im Ukraine-Krieg einzulenken. Das hat Kanzler Scholz vor seinem Abflug zum G20-Gipfel in Brasilien gesagt. Der SPD-Politiker hatte diese Woche erstmals seit fast 2 Jahren mit Putin telefoniert. Scholz sagte dazu:
Das Gespräch war sehr ausführlich, hat aber auch zu der Erkenntnis beigetragen, dass sich bei dem russischen Präsidenten an seinen Ansichten zu diesem Krieg nicht viel geändert hat, was keine gute Nachricht ist. Aber gerade deshalb ist es so wichtig, dass wir in der Frage des Prinzips sehr klar sind, nämlich dass die Ukraine sich auf uns verlassen kann und dass der Grundsatz gilt, über die Köpfe der Ukraine hinweg wird es keine Entscheidungen geben.
Nordkorea verstärkt offenbar seine Unterstützung für Russland im Krieg gegen die Ukraine, das berichtet die Financial Times. Demnach sind nicht nur bis zu 10.000 Soldaten, sondern auch Dutzende schwere Haubitzen und mehrfach Raketenwerfer in die Region Kursk geschafft worden. Das deutsche Tennisdoppel Kevin Krawitz und Tim Pütz hat den inoffiziellen Weltmeistertitel gewonnen. Das Duo bezwang im Endspiel bei den ATP-Finals in Turin ein Doppel aus El Salvador und Kroatien. Damit hat erstmals ein deutsches Doppel den Titel bei diesem Turnier gewonnen. Ego FM.